Is the Fantasy Focus Baseball Podcast. Here are your hosts, Tristan Cockcroft and Eric Carabel.
That's right, it's Fantasy Focus Baseball on a beautiful Thursday morning, August 29th, 2019. He is Eggplant Tristan, I am Bacon Eric, and Troy Farkas. What food would you like to be associated with? Produces today's fine show.
I'm a big oatmeal guy.
Oh, I am too.
Wait a second. Were you having bacon parm and oatmeal parm?
I'm not having oatmeal parm.
No.
I would have bacon parm. You can have your, you know, ritzy, you know, nouveau eggplant, but no.
Ritzy nouveau.
I'm still mad at you.
I know.
But alas, we carry on to give the listeners what they think they want, which is baseball advice on this final show of August. We think we'll be back for September for two shows a week. Obviously.
No, I'm sorry. You buried the lead on bacon parm. We're not getting past that.
This isn't about parm anymore. This isn't about parm anymore.
Baseball parm.
No, this is about you choosing eggplant parm over chicken or veal parm and being okay with it. And everybody else in the show except me saying, yeah, that makes sense. And I'm like, what show is this? No, not going to work. Not going to work here. Let's talk
some
baseball.
You're outnumbered, man. You're outnumbered.
I know, and I don't understand how.
Because when it's done right, it's awesome.
Just I don't want it done right. I want my chicken or veal or meatball.
You know what else is awesome?
Parm was not meant to be on eggplant.
Yeah, it was.
No, it wasn't.
That's the only way to eat eggplant.
What does any of this have to do with Ryan O'Hearn? Well, nothing.
Awesome is baseball. Yay.
Ryan O'Hearn parm? I don't know. On today's Labor Day edition, hitters hitting home runs, pitchers trying to avoid it. You know, it's the normal stuff we've been doing for 5 months, people. Home runs are way out of line here. And if you pitch well, great. If you're Mitch Keller, well, we're not surprised. Comma, meals, closers, myriad hash browns. Here's the buzz. I'm just so bent out of shape by what happened on Monday's show. It's hard for me to carry on. It's hard for me to carry on with the way you acted. The way you acted.
The way I acted.
Yes.
The way, like, I selected parts.
I don't even know you. Like, I've known you 15 years, and now I'm just like, I don't even know you. Now, Troy, I have never met. So, like, it's okay if he wants to have, like, you know, like, flip-flops parm or something silly. But you, like, I thought I knew you. I've been to baseball games with you, met your wife. She liked eggplant parm too.
She loves eggplant parm.
This is the house conspiracy in the Cockcroft household.
She loves eggplant parm, but she's also a little bit more towards the veggies and the healthy eating.
What's the craziest thing we could parm? Like chocolate pudding parm?
I think Ryan O'Hearn parm, you said a couple of minutes ago, is probably the weirdest.
That's a little weird.
Oh,
it's a little weird. But he's hitting home runs. And we're here to tell you, I think what we should do today, we never actually discussed this before the show, but let's just talk about some pickups for the weekend, some players.
Oh, no.
Some sandwiches.
All right, yes.
I mean, what else? I mean, like, I'm looking at the note here. I mean, he's given up. It's football season for Kyle. So, like, the note just says, like, talk about Blake Treinen. Who's still rostering Blake Treinen and can win their league?
It's a stat. It's just his stat.
His whip is higher than his ERA. How does that happen?
Yeah, his whip is higher than
last year's
ERA.
ERA
plus whip. That's hard to believe.
Give me Kirby Yates' ERA next year. I know you're going to say this one has nothing to do with the other, but it does.
215.
I'll say 290.
Wow. I think of that as a bad year for him.
I'm just saying it's hard for anybody to do this in consecutive years. What Blake Treinen did last season, I mean, that doesn't mean Kirby Yates will fall apart, but – and the Dodgers with this Kenley Jansen thing. I mean, like, how are they still, like, is he not getting, like, the Ken Giles treatment? Just take, like, a week off or take, like, every third day or something. Like, look what's happening. This stuff is average at best.
Yeah.
All right. But I wrote a blog today, which I'm sure you didn't read, about some free agent pickups that can help your fantasy team. And
I'm
know that
it right
you
now.
Want help. I don't think you are.
I am. I'm parming it as
me.
We speak.
I think you're talking in one hand and eating an eggplant parm in the other, and I just can't get over that. So I changed the format on Thursday's blog entry because the fact is nobody's picking up Miguel Sano, but they should be. Like, Miguel Sano or Jorge Soler? You would I would say Sano.
Yeah, I like Sano. I do acknowledge a lot of the improvements that Soler has made, but I think both have got to get scooped up, and I'm excited by Sano.
I mean, we probably shouldn't name every player on this list because it is behind a paywall and we want people to buy, but it's the last day of August. Mark Canha of Oakland is really good now. Willie Calhoun's hitting home runs. If you want stolen bases in your Roto League, they're out there too. I think the funny thing to me is, like, every time Kyle Seager hits a home run, mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, he was really, really bad last season. And now with this crazy, fun, happy baseball, he's hitting a home run every third day. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't even know what's real. Aristides Aquino, I don't know if that's real. If Kyle Seager can do this and Tom Murphy can do this, then anybody can do it. Tommy La Stella did this.
Yeah. I mean, doesn't Aquino have the record now for four or five different numbers of X
games? It's hollow. Look, every time I see someone say, hey, Kyle Schwarber has a career high in home runs and it's still only August, incredulously, right. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Stop with this. Everybody's going to hit a career high in home runs this season.
We're having an entire panel on this at First Pitch Arizona this
month. Are we really?
We are having an entire panel, more than 1 hour, just discussing the impacts of the baseball.
See, Now, I want to do that, and I can't wait for our trip to Arizona Fall League in mid-October. And by the way, if you haven't signed up yet, you still can.
Yep.
Go to baseballhq.com, our friends Brent Hershey and everyone there, and they do a great job. It's a nice, like, Thursday through Sunday weekend. Mm-hmm. You get to watch baseball games. We talk baseball. There are special guests. He and I are there.
There's drafts. There's everything. I mean, it's just bacon. It's a weekend of baseball. It's so awesome.
It's a lot of fun. It's the 25th anniversary, so you definitely don't want to miss that.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, Tristan and I are going to be there eating lots of good food. Although the place we wanted to go that we went last year closed.
Yeah, close.
But anyway, it's lots of fun. Hey, I don't know what you can say because we don't know what the baseball is going to look like next season. So,
I'm going to have to do a lot of research before that panel.
What could you possibly research on what the baseball is going to look like next season?
Do you remember the Trumbo stat we talked about on the podcast a couple of years ago, where the year that the ball did show a definitive jump from shifting from pitching to hitting, that Trumbo had a home run number that was identical to another player from the year before, but it was worth something like 25 to 30% less in fantasy leagues using player rater calculations. I'm going to need to see what that change is this year compared to last.
I guess my point to you is you have no idea if the 2020 baseball is this year's or last year's.
But yeah, I don't. And that's the difficult part here, is that to build any sort of projections model, we have an excellent chance of all being way off on the home run totals for individuals. But the important thing is baseball still tracking towards value relative to replacements in home runs alone? Just the single category. We talk about replacement level a lot. I think of it in terms of categories. If a player's home runs compared to the league average or his own historical history has not shifted all that much, then we should still be drafting homers about the same.
All right. So last weekend of August, 1st of September, how do you change what you're doing with your teams? Obviously, every bench spot should be fortified with somebody important. You should look at the schedule. The Rockies do have a full week at home coming up. I added Sam Hilliard in the league. You don't know who he is, people, but he had 35 home runs and 22 stolen bases at AAA this year. That matters in home games. Maybe they'll platoon him, but so what? So, Tristan, since you win your leagues, what are you doing? And we should note, I win leagues too.
This has been like a season-long gag,
and people are tweeting at me like, why am I listening to a guy who never wins his leagues? I do fine. I don't do the way Tristan does. You put more time into it during the season. I think that's fair to say.
I crush people like bugs.
You're not going to win our office league. How about that?
Oh, them's fighting words.
I don't want to fight with you. My bacon beats your eggplant, but the point is,
I've got motivation now. Oh, sure.
Yeah. Now you're motivated. All right, Castellanos, show me your motivation now.
All right, let's get to the thing of the
That's a guy who did nothing
like
for 4 months, and
like
now all of a sudden, in a pennant race, has as many homers in a month than he did in 4 months.
Lead me to a labor title. Lead me to a labor title. Anyway, we're off the track. September strategy. Okay, chase hot streaks. Nothing wrong with that. You want playing time? Hot streaks get playing time. Teams are going to rest players. They're going to play the hot hands. Stick with them. rotations are going to change. Today I have an entire piece based on recommended beneath the radar guys using the forecaster ratings for the entirety of the month of September. And I write in this column about how a lot of these rotations will change. A couple of the pitchers might reach their innings limits and get shut down for the season. So be prepared to add and drop players on the fly and have no fear. I saw a question today in Twitter. Eric, you probably saw this one too, where we had somebody ask, should I drop Noah Syndergaard after yesterday's performance? Sounds absurd. But if it was September 20th and that happened and he had one more start and you don't like that last start, is it so absurd?
It's not. What is that? What is absurd to me is that's who I got for winning my Vampire League last week. and his first outing gives up 10 runs. So I don't think I'm going to win this week. I didn't know you wrote today. See, you know, it would have been helpful to know that. And you could have sent me the content and I could have read it. We could have talked about that on the show. But no, don't bother. Don't bother communicating. You or anyone else.
Oh, I dropped the ball on that one.
So wait, is it posted already?
No, it should be up later today.
All right, whatever.
Well, we'll get there. It's the piece that was like in August.
You're not dropping Syndergaard today.
No, certainly not. But the question rings louder today than it might have 1 month ago, and certainly 2 or 3 months ago. There's
like,
this not even a conversation 2 or 3 months, but it's a legitimate question now. It's five more starts. It's five more starts for the average pitcher.
By the way, I mentioned Ryan O'Hearn. He's facing Baltimore this weekend, and he looks fine this week. He's got 3 homers this week. So a guy like that, yeah, pick him up. And drop the guys who aren't helping you. Why are you still owning Adam Jones, people? Like, he's not helping your fantasy team.
I think that there's a couple things with that. We're in the final week of the head-to-head playoffs for those formats, so teams that have been eliminated mathematically are...
Yes, maybe they're not doing it.
Right, so I think the numbers are going to slow a little bit in general.
But like Chris Paddock.
Sure.
Starting at the Giants this weekend, he might be done after that.
I'll give you the beneath-the-radar guy I've been adding everywhere. It's Nick Solak.
All right, yeah, I like him too. I do. Mm-hmm. There's very few pitchers that I would say I like. It's all matchup at this point. You've proven it to me all year, or you're a matchup guy now.
Do you think that this year September has the highest likelihood of any September you ever remember playing this game of being play the matchups and don't care about the names?
I hate doing like things like that. Like I think yes, it's going to be crazy this month because pitchers can't get anybody out. Because of the happy fun baseball. So I do think to some degree that's going to be the case, but I still have a hard time. Like, yes, if it's one start for Syndergaard and it's at, you know, a tough place, I mean, even like Wrigley or something. Yeah, I might cut him, but like I'm not doing over 5 starts left. So I don't want to go overboard on that strategy.
Right.
I mean, the leagues I still have a shot to win are not like that. They're not leagues where I can just add like freely add players.
Right.
Like they're either a weekly league with Fab, or it's an NL only where I don't have any Fab left or something like that. Like it's just, there's not a whole lot of movement. I'm adding guys like Seth Brown, Ryan O'Hearn, just in case. Seth Brown's the Oakland kid. He's probably going to be better than Chris Davis down the stretch. Like if you're still relying on Chris Davis of Oakland, stop. He's probably not going to have a great September.
Mm-hmm.
But Seth Brown, if they play him, cause Piscotty's done, maybe Seth Brown will. I think Seth Brown has a good shot of having a big September.
Chase the hot streaks, chase the righties and lefties. I think the portion in the forecaster where I write up the teams that have the hefty number of righty or lefty starting pitching that they're facing, those players are going to become more relevant for you. You've got to find any opportunity to plug in players. Do not waste your resources at this stage.
Hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. And that place, as we all know, is ZipRecruiter.com/Carabel. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the very first day. And right now, listeners to this fine show can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Carabel. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Carabel. ZipRecruiter.com/Carabel. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. All right, next up, combo meals.
Hey, it's a combo meal. Combo. It's a combo meal. Home run.
By the way, one of these days I will spell my last name wrong. Don't tell me you haven't done it. You know you've
done
it.
I have never spelled my last name wrong. I have a hunch that
other
people have.
Our site does it half the time. I think...
It's very common to leave out the third C in my name. I'm used to it.
Wait, let's stop talking about your name because I want to keep my job. And Tom's not even here. So, because we could get in a lot of trouble here.
Yes, my abbreviation.
Let's talk about the combo meals. Francisco okay. Lindor did it yesterday. Nick Senzel, who a lot of people seem to be down on. Like, what would you look at Nick Senzel and say, oh, that's not good enough. I don't want him next year. I look at Nick Senzel and I see 25 homers, 15 to 20 steals, multi-eligibility. I love Nick Senzel for next season. Even for this last month, and I see people dropping him in a lot of leagues, and I'm like, why are you doing that? What do you think?
Beneath the radar is a great thing to be in fantasy in the draft season, and Senzel's going to fall into that group. I agree with you. I think there's more power left in that bat. I like the fact that he has run. He has attempted to steal bases at what I'd say is a little bit of an elevated rate compared to the projections. I like him. I think he's a good player, and I think it's a shame if he's overlooked next season.
What do you think Joey Votto is going to do this final month? I want your honest appraisal here.
We just said that we don't want to use the words that will get us thrown off the show. So
how many runs batted in is Joey Votto going to finish with as I lose my league because of runs batted in?
It's unbelievable that I mean
39 RBI, 39.
Could anybody have seen this level of a downturn for him?
I bet there's players who had almost 39 RBI in a month this season.
39 in
like
a
Josh
month.
Bell. What was Josh Bell's best month for RBI? I'm going to look it up right now while you speak. There had to be a month where Josh Bell had more than 30 RBIs.
Hey, you know, on the bright side, he's matched last year's home run total. So go Joey Votto.
Well, of course.
The
Votto
environment's
Bell.
Exactly the same. No. It's not the baseball. No. It's the...
happening to you?
I think
you're choking on your eggplant. I don't understand.
This is the problem for you with Votto is that it's a weekly league. He had 31 in a month.
I can't bench him. Josh Bell had 31 RBI in May.
31 in a month, and Joey Votto has 39 for the year. I can still win,
but whatever.
This is the problem with Joey Votto. I would only use him in a daily league where the matchup is stacked in his favor.
Good luck with that. What matchup's going to be stacked in his favor? You tell me. Like, unless he's facing Baltimore.
I don't believe they go to Coors. It's possible there's still some out-of-division games, but the Cincinnati game's at home against a brutal righty who can't get lefties out. A guy without the changeup. A righty without the changeup would be perfect for Joey
Votto. I don't know why we're wasting time on this.
Yeah, we're 4 games out of 30?
I mean, they still have a series with the Phillies and all their bad right-handers. Maybe he can hit one against Vince Velasquez. All right, next up, the Closer Carousel.
The Closer Carousel.
You know, when I was writing about it today, I mean, there's only so much I can complain about Kenley Jansen and, you know, Jose Leclerc and Craig Kimbrell. Any situations you're actually watching this weekend that are important in a deep league? Because nobody, no matter how many saves Carlos Estevez gets this weekend, he's not going to be added in mixed leagues. Nobody cares about Seattle's Matt McGill. I'm just saying in a standard league, okay? But you and I play in deeper leagues, AL and NL only. I think these people do care about Matt McGill. They care about Daniel Hudson. You know what I noticed? There's only been one save in any Nationals game since Sean Doolittle hit the DL 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
Like, they win every game 10-3, or they're losing by, like, on, like, a walk-off. So, like, there's never a save in their games. That's one of the big stories of this year that nobody's talking about. You're all talking about the home runs and all that, and you're studying the baseball. Study the saves. Teams are scoring so many runs that, like, save opportunities have to be going down. The fact that Boston scores all these runs and doesn't give Brandon Workman save chances, he's going to end up with 12 saves a season, and he's their primary closer. I think that's amazing.
Yeah. I also think in their case, they've got a terrible rotation and a really good offense. So we're looking at high scoring on both sides of the ball, which is a poor mix for saves. I'll tell you, I feel like today there's little change in the closer picture. The only thing that I really care a lot about is what's going on behind Josh Hader. I worry about Hader. You've mentioned him before. When you mentioned Yates earlier in the show, I thought you mentioned about Josh Hader that you didn't think he could keep up quite these numbers. And to this point, he has not pitched as effectively in the second half. And if he doesn't improve, there will be some saves behind him. Are they Matt Albers? Are they Junior Guerra's? Are they someone else's?
I think it's Albers, but they clear. I was watching that Brewers game yesterday, and Hader was pitching those final two innings no matter what he gave up. Like, there was nobody that was going to warm up in that bullpen. It was his two innings because Craig Counsell has nobody else to trust. And Hader could have given up three solo home runs or two to save the lead. It was 6-3, I believe. It didn't matter.
They scored him an extra run, I think, didn't they?
Right, yeah. Any situations you're watching?
Were you nervous about it? Watching that game, I was watching it with you, too.
A little bit. I thought it doesn't matter. Albers already pitched in relief of Lyles, maybe, and I thought it doesn't matter what happens. Oh, the final was 4-1. Right. It wasn't 6-3 was the day before. Junior Guerra got five outs after Lyles.
Yep.
And then, so Albers might not have been available because he gotten lit the day before. And then it was all Hader. And he threw 30 pitches. Everything was a strike, but I kept thinking, like, as St. Louis was fouling pitches off, man, you could hit that ball 450 feet. Mm-hmm. He's giving you the velocity. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Josh Hader, you're not dropping him in any leagues, and I don't think you should add Matt Albers. But, man, I am not drafting Josh Hader in 2020. I'm just not.
I don't blame you with the home run problems. The other – I mean, it's not a closer himself. It would be beneath-the-radar kind of guy is Rowan Wick.
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to take a lot for Chad Kringberg to lose that job. Like, a lot meaning, like, he would have to have, like, a Syndergaard-type outing or be hurt. Mm-hmm. But they may not make the playoffs. See, the fact is, the second wild card in the National League is a joke. Nationals are a really good team. Like, they're a division-winning, worthy team. So is Atlanta. The second wild card in the National League stinks. Cubs, Phillies, Mets, Brewers, they're, like, embarrassing 500 teams. I just, you know, like, but Kimbrel, it's not a one-year deal. If it was a one-year deal, they could replace him with Rowan Wick, but it's not. It's like they have him for 3 years.
Right.
They have to let him close no matter what happens. That's dumb.
But I'd have to think you have a little bit of worry about either inconsistency or another injury.
We saw it last year with Boston. Craig Kimbrel's not as good. It's a reason why he didn't pitch that much in the playoffs. He's not that good. Cubs just fell for this. I mean, maybe it'll work out. You can fake your way to 30 saves no matter what, okay? There's pitchers this year that are going to fake their way to saves, but... maybe not. Like, you know what? There's usually a bad pitcher getting 30 saves. Like last year, didn't Brad Boxberger have like 35 saves or something?
I don't think he got to that, but every year.
You know what I mean?
Like
there's always a Todd Jones, Joe Borowski type who finds their way to 30 saves. Now, Kimbrel's not going to be that guy.
Oh, was it Greg Holland last year?
It might have been Greg Holland. The thing is, like, Kenley Jansen's not that good. No, Boxberger last year had 32 saves, Tristan. So, and an ERA of 4.39. It's always Arizona, baby. Yeah. Archie Bradley's whip is still 1.5. Anyway, any situations to watch this weekend so fantasy owners can pick somebody up?
Yeah, I mean, I am watching the Washington bullpen just because I feel it needs to be watched. The problem is that Sean Doolittle is beginning the throwing program, so we might be looking at 2 weeks worth of plug-ins, but I just think that they're going to give you at least a handful.
The schedule...
It's a Miami series. They could get a couple of save chances.
They could. Although, it's a Miami series. They're going to win the games 10-6 or 10-5.
Says the guy... Oh, anyway, I'm not going to say that.
Look, the Phillies can't beat Miami. I'm not embarrassed.
I'm just like the fact
My team's not that good. My team is not a playoff team.
Right, but if Miami's going to come out here... I mean, come on, I won't mention the name of the guy because he's in your pickups there.
Mention whoever you want.
All right, yeah. John Birdie.
Stealing bases.
Right. If a guy like that and Miami, these nobodies, are putting up some unexpectedly good games, then, hey, maybe they could fight into the ninth and it is close enough for a save chance. That's sort of my thinking here.
I think Washington wins these games 10-2. Every team's beating up Miami except the Phillies. ESPN Plus on Thursday night has Alex Wood against Miami, Robert Duggar. Wow, that's exciting.
Yamamoto's on the IL.
Oh, is he? When did that happen?
Jordan Yamamoto went on the IL last night.
Ugh. Yep. Can't get a break. Chris Paddock's at San Francisco. I don't think that's going to be a great outing. If you got Paddock, you use him here, but five innings, three or four runs, I don't know. Something's wrong with him. Hyunjin Ryu should have fun with Arizona. Who are you picking up? Do not pick up Felix Hernandez. I would say, Chris Bassett at Kansas City, although that game's probably already started.
Right. Yeah, I think anybody you're going to be adding is in the early games, and it's not a great day for pickups.
Friday, ESPN Plus late night, Nate Eovaldi for a brief start at the Angels, Dylan Peters. Avoid both of them.
Hey, Dilly Pickle.
What?
Dilly Pickle.
That's Dylan Peters?
Uh-huh.
You've changed his name.
That was his Players Weekend thing.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, he's the Dilly of a pickle.
You're so weird.
It's awesome. It's the best player's nickname ever.
Let's ask Dylan Peters if he likes eggplant. Nelson Lamet is at San Francisco against Madison Bumgarner. Now, that should be a good game. Lamet strikes people out. Yep. Tony Gonsolin at Arizona might be his last start. Who gives more value the rest of the season, Tony Gonsolin or Dustin May, who I think is starting Sunday?
Gonsolin.
May's
last. Because the – now, yeah.
It's both of their last starts.
It's the Dodgers. They will lie about everything in the rotation to us, but they have declared that this is, quote, May's final start on Sunday. So, Gonsolin.
I think it's Gonsolin's too, I read.
Then who knows?
I don't know who's starting.
Isn't it a Padres game, the one on Sunday?
I think Tim Belcher's coming out of retirement to start for the Dodgers this weekend.
I guess Rich Hill, but I don't think he's ready yet. So, I don't know. Opener?
Maybe you just shouldn't be relying on rookies.
May is going to pitch in relief in order to build him up for that workload during the postseason. So, I mean, I would assume Gonsolin also is. He's probably going to give you longer outings a la Julio Urias. But
so we talked about not dropping Syndergaard. If Trevor Bauer gets lit up again, do you drop him?
Not remembering the Reds schedule offhand, I'd lean towards.
Well, they're at St. Louis on Friday. They've got a Phillies series coming up. Phillies don't hit. I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying, like, if something's wrong with Trevor Bauer, or he's experimenting in August, that would bother me.
Yeah, I don't think I could classify it as experimentation. He's had two good starts, and the other three were words that shouldn't be said. And I don't. If you need a spot like that in order to stream starters in September, I don't have a problem with it. I know it sounds crazy, but...
It does. Zach Davies at Cole Hamels on Saturday. Which one are you adding? You got to add one.
I will add Zach Davies.
Wow! I never expected you to say that!
No part of Hamels against the... I mean, granted, lefty versus... Yeah,
the Cubs at home, they hit better at home. Davies doesn't strike anybody out. Wow, shocker.
I won't have either one in my lineups. So,
it's
but
good that you continue to shock me. Brock Burke, the Texas rookie, home against Seattle Saturday. In or out?
In.
Tim Melville at home against Pittsburgh. Cat Coors. You liked Melville on the last show. And he pitched well at Coors. Give him credit.
Coin flip,
no.
Yes.
Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN. Oh, how exciting. It's the Mets and the Phillies. Marcus Stroman against Jason Vargas. Literally, the Mets dumped Vargas to their the Phillies.
Yeah.
So Stroman could be on the team.
They changed it.
What?
They just changed it this morning.
To what?
It's going to be Eflin going Sunday and Vargas on Saturday.
Well,
Aaron
Vargas is still playing on Saturday. So the point is, the Mets literally dumped Jason Vargas, who is suitable enough.
Yeah.
And for the Phillies, he's a number two starter.
Yeah.
So they could add Marcus Stroman, and now Vargas is going to beat
the
Mets
Vargas
this weekend.
Faces the Mets, yeah.
And by the way, Vargas has a better ERA as a Philly than Stroman does as a Met. Just saying. Neither of these teams are playoff bound. But watch it anyway, because... It's baseball, and the Philly Fanatic is there, and Jess Mendoza's there, and it's awesome. ESPN Plus later in the afternoon on Sunday has Lucas Giolito and Julio Teheran. Teheran's been pretty good, still. I traded him for a closer in a league, but, I had to do it. Now I need to trade nobody's trading in that league. Mm-hmm. There's still the trade deadlines this weekend, but, like, I'm not even looking for people to trade with because everybody else is scared to help the guy win the league, and they're admitting it.
Right.
So, but you know what? The most important thing this weekend is really that Carlos Carrasco is returning for Cleveland.
Yes.
He had leukemia. He's going to be in the bullpen. It doesn't matter what his fantasy value is. He's going to be in their relief corps, so he's not going to start. He's not going to get saves. He's not going to help your fantasy team, but who cares? He's back. He's pitching. Way more important than talking about Aaron Brooks or whatever.
This is one of the best stories of the weekend, I think. And I'm very excited to see what he can provide in September.
Absolutely. That's the first half.
Monday, shouldn't we cover? Because it's Labor Day.
Oh, yeah, because there's no show on Monday. We're going to do a show
Labor
Tuesday.
Labor Day! Yeah.
So Tuesday. Labor Day, it looks like a doubleheader on ESPN. It's Texas at the Yankees. It's a 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern time start on Monday. So please get your weekly lineups in before 1 o'clock. Don't wait till 7. It will be too late.
Yep.
Tanaka's pitching on Monday. Didn't he have a problem in afternoon games?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Last year he had that ridiculous split. I should say.
I don't know if he still has it.
I'll tell you.
Syndergaard is pitching at Washington. That's a big series there. Mets got a – look, Mets aren't that far out of it, but, like, anyway.
You starting Syndergaard?
Absolutely.
After that nightmare?
One game.
I know. I'm sure that there are a lot of very
Ryan Yarbrough,
people.
Really underrated. He's at home against Baltimore. You want to pick up on that. Anthony DeSclafani. Pretty good two-star guy next week. A lot of decent two-star pitchers next week. Adrian Hauser as well. Although that first outing is against Houston. That's not a good one. That's on ESPN too. That's the second, not ESPN 2, ESPN as well. That's the second game on ESPN. Cal Quantrill's pitch. Aaron Civale at home against the White Sox. I like Aaron Civale. I kept saying he was like, just like Shane Bieber in the minors. And so far in the majors, he looks really good.
He does look very good. I'm on board for that one. That'll be a good two-start value. And I've got your Tanaka stats. You're going to be surprised.
It?
He has a 3.20 ERA in his 12-day starts, going 7-2, 104 whip. In his night games, 15 starts, 5.50 ERA, 137 whip, 3-5 record.
So the opposite of last year.
That tells me
that there was nothing in last year's splits.
And that's the fear I have, is that a lot of times we invest too much as fantasy managers in things like day-night splits and also righty-lefty.
I don't read into day-night splits at all. Home road's different. I do that. But
home road can be different, especially for certain players in the context, like the core players.
All right. That is the very long first half of the show. I promised Troy our show will be shorter, and it just is not going to be. All right. Let's get some questions in here and a fun ad if we can. First up, Michael. How has your opinion of Christian Walker changed? See him as a future 30-homer, 15-steal guy. Wow, is he really doing that? I've got Christian Walker everywhere, and I thought he had power, but 8 steals. Let's not talk about a major stolen base guy. And actually, you know what? His strikeout rate isn't hideous. So this looks pretty repeatable. Now, he's kind of a 10% walk rate for Christian Walker. How about that? He's not a guy you're going to like draft next season and say, oh, this is awesome. Like, I guess Christian Walker could be a 30-100 guy if they put something around him. He's got 59 runs batted in. That's not great. But I guess the question is about the steals being a differentiator. Do you see that continuing? Because I don't see anything in his minor league numbers that shows us that he was going to steal bases.
Right. He had 8 stolen bases combined in the past 3 years leading into this one, which matches his numbers this season. I wanted to dig up his speed score to just put something on this one. He's 251st in terms of the StatCast speed score out of 522. That means he's effectively a league average base runner, so I think it's just taking advantage of opportunities.
It's the Lance Berkman year.
Right. I put no stock in the stolen bases. It's all about the bat. And I'd say that the pro case for Christian Walker is that he turns into Travis Shaw, a right-handed version of Travis Shaw. And even Shaw showed you that that can fade after a couple of years. Remember, he's going to be 29 next year.
Are you saying that's old? I'm going to be 29 next year.
But for a guy who was not considered an elite prospect in any sense, but put up the great minor league numbers, and granted in hitter-friendly leagues in a lot of cases, in the minors, and then did it a little bit in the majors in a somewhat hitting-friendly ballpark, I don't know how long this juice might last 2.5 years, but what if it lasts 1.5 years?
Is Christian Walker draftable next season?
Yeah, I think he's your corner infielder late if you didn't go aggressive.
You realize he's the number 15 first baseman on the season player order. He basically tied with Paul Goldschmidt, the guy he replaced. But he has 8 steals, and Goldschmidt has 2.
Right.
Goldschmidt has only 2 stolen bases. His second came last night.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
It still doesn't. Granted, it speaks to the fact that first base isn't super deep anymore, but I'm just not excited. Could you rank him any higher than 15th at first base?
I can't even rank him 15th.
Right. That's my thinking. I think he makes it into, say, the top 25.
I mean, yeah, I don't know if he gets drafted, honestly. I mean, like, I see a lot of first basemen, first base only, like, not guys like LeMahieu. But like Freeman, Bellinger, Josh Bell, Alonso, Rizzo, Santana, Hoskins still, Goldschmidt still, Edwin. Edwin could be a top 100 guy. I want to see where he is. Mm-hmm. Matt Olson, I still like. Still like. I mean, nothing changed. Gallo's first base.
Yep. Gallo, I have not checked.
He might lose first base.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look at what his position
is. I would take Christian Walker over Votto. Yeah, maybe he is. Maybe he is the top 20 first baseman, because you're right. If there's not 20 first basemen, you have to draft.
Right, and I think, yeah, that the lack of depth in the lower tiers might allow you to wait late, and kind of like at catcher, where we don't draft catchers. Oh, corner infield, I'll worry about it later. He's there. Okay, I feel good about that. In his defense, by the way, a very good chase rate, 25%. That's actually a pretty good number considering his skill set.
I'm drafting Tom Murphy in round 4 next year.
Is that a vampire league?
Caleb has a question. NL-only points keeper league. Pick two of these three. Javier Baez, Paul Goldschmidt, Starling Marte. Points league, so the stolen bases don't mean quite as much, but the walks do. Marte's not a walker. Is Marte the guy? Baez is first. Goldschmidt or Marte here and a points league keeper? Man, I don't know if I'd keep Goldschmidt over Marte. Even like, Marte's steals don't mean a lot in a points league, but still, he doesn't walk. But first base, I still feel like I can get a first baseman.
Yeah, I mean, even with the diminishing talent there, what I'm trying to get is the report on points for these three. And I my latest, oh, darn it, my update was from the other day. Baez. Sorry.
I mean, who has more points between Goldschmidt and Marte in a points league?
Right, that's what I'm trying to get for you. Oh, darn. Jeffrey Baez comes up. Here he is. Javier Baez has 325. Goldschmidt has 301.
Closer than I thought.
Starling Marte would be 370 points. And just to be clear, this was 2 days ago, the report. So, Marte...
I didn't realize Starling Marte was doing that in a points league. What am I missing?
Marte is well ahead of the other two. He's a good, about 45 to 50 points ahead.
Isn't he a guy who never walks?
Yeah, he's historically a terrible points league pick.
So why is he destroying Goldschmidt?
My theory would probably be that he's filling the doubles column. The Ks aren't as damaging as they might have been earlier in his career. Remember, he used to be a guy who'd whiff once at every four times when he was first breaking through.
Goldschmidt, no doubles. A lot of strikeouts, no steal. All right.
We all underrate the doubles in points leagues.
So Goldschmidt's the guy you throw back. Let me read this from our friends at MeUndies. MeUndies is here to change your underwear. Not literally, but it's here to change the way you think about it. They believe undies should not take themselves too seriously. They believe undies should be soft, fit every booty like it was made for every booty. I'm just reading. And offer fun patterns that give you the freedom to express yourself. They have new women's products by MeUndies, because MeUndies also believes that every woman should have the freedom to wear whatever cut they want, and whatever color they want, and whatever size they want. So ladies, rejoice! The Feel Free collection is here. MeUndies size tested these 5 new silhouettes on every body type, with an ultra soft, feather light waistband that provides zero restriction. These undies will be the best thing that has ever been on your body, and it's offered in sizes extra small to 4XL. Now, the new Feel Free collection offers an ultra soft waistband that maximizes comfort with a weightless feel designed with you in mind. New prints drop every Tuesday, so undie exhaustion be gone! MeUndies offers a flexible membership that has styles for both men, women, matching your boo, and even your dog. They don't just have undies, people. They also have super soft and comfy onesies and loungewear perfect for, well, lounging. MeUndies has a great offer for our listeners. For any first-time purchasers, you get 15% off and free shipping. This is a no-brainer, especially because they have a 100% satisfaction guarantee. To get your 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/FFB. That's MeUndies.com/FFB. And let me tell you, I love MeUndies. They are awesome. Yes. That's all I wear now.
Yeah. Same here.
And I got through it.
I like the very creative pattern socks, too.
Yeah, I don't wear socks. But yeah, I wear undies.
You don't wear socks at all? I don't want to smell your feet. Ugh.
Your feet would smell worse wearing socks.
No, they smell way worse when you don't wear socks.
I mean, I wear like socks when I wear sneakers, but I don't, you know, I've been wearing flip-flops. It's 80 degrees every day.
Yeah, if it's flip-flops, that's, yeah.
I mean, when I had to go to the office, I wore socks.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're wearing shoes with no socks, ooh, I do not want to be anywhere near your feet.
When I wear sneakers, I wear socks.
They have hammock
wear? Why are you talking about this? MeUndies are awesome.
I know. They need hammock
wear. Wear undies. Where am I? Wear a new pair of undies every day from MeUndies.
I'm wearing my dark purple ones today.
All right, I don't need to hear that.
Yes,
why,
you do.
So it can match your eggplant?
Hey, if you were to read that read and it was fun with that, I could have fun with saying I'm wearing my purple MeUndies right now.
You couldn't handle that read.
I probably could. I enjoy it. I like creative copy.
I just read them as I see them on my screen. Baseball Man has a question. Most upside for 2020, Swanson, Mercado, or Kyle Tucker?
Huh. Upside? Woo.
Well, Oscar Mercado's upside is probably 15 homers and 30 steals. Swanson's probably is 30 and 15. Kyle Tucker had a 30-30 season in the minors this season, but I once saw Jock Peterson do that in the minors, and then he didn't run at all in the majors. So I don't want to say for sure that Kyle Tucker runs in the majors, but Kyle Tucker has to be Houston's left fielder next year. Doesn't he have the most upside of these three players?
Yes.
Where are you drafting Kyle Tucker next year? Assume he has the starting job.
If I assume he has a starting job, I'll take him in round 12. Jeez, maybe sooner than that. I mean, if you're giving me the promise of the job, I think he makes a compelling case for the top 100 picks.
That seems he's awfully draftable. Aggressive.
Why wouldn't we be aggressive based
top 100 picks? You and I have had conversations on this show about players you can't fit into your top 100 who are proving themselves this year.
Yep.
And you're going to say Kyle Tucker is a top 100 pick?
Where
I had to argue with you about Adalberto Mondesi 6 months ago, and now weeks, you're putting Kyle Tucker in?
2 weeks before Mondesi injuries.
Who are you taking first, Tucker or Mondesi next year?
Mondesi. But I mean, you know, like you didn't give me the whole, you're giving me a promise of Kyle Tucker playing every day or...
I think we would know by March whether he's their starting left field.
But I mean, when we're thinking about it today in terms of accounting for the possibility he doesn't have an everyday job or that it doesn't go all that well right away, I would be slotting him in somewhere in maybe the 20th round. I think he's going to get drafted when we're looking at things today, but the role is a little bit uncertain. But I would ask you this. 2 weeks before Bo Bichette came up, do you think there's any way you would have made the case for top 100 for next year?
No, I had to see him play in the majors.
Exactly.
So that's why I'm surprised you're saying Kyle Tucker's top 100 when we haven't seen him play in the majors.
Then
we haven't
seen
him do well in the majors. We've seen him in the majors.
Okay, then Aquino should be making cases like this. We cannot just take 2 to 3 weeks of a sample. Now, granted, for Bichette, I think now it's 4 or 5. We can't take these little tiny samples in a year like this with the baseball what it is and just assume, click, there the guy goes from 350 to 90.
I think Aquino is going to be one of the most overdrafted players next year. He's going to keep this up the final 4 weeks.
I don't think we're going to rank him well enough.
He's
going to
end up with 25 homers and like 200 at-bats.
Does Aquino get drafted?
Oh, my God. I'm thinking he's going in the top 100 next year. People are going to be crazy about this guy.
Okay, I'll correct it. Should he be drafted?
No. Well, should he be drafted? Yes, in case it's real.
Do you draft him ahead or behind Kyle Tucker?
I'd rather have Tucker, but I'd also like to see Tucker thrive this month or in September.
Okay.
Like, we have 2 more days left before the Dodgers and Astros have to make a decision on Kyle Tucker and Gavin Lux.
Yes.
And I want to see these guys play now. You have a 20-game lead in your division. What are you waiting for? Josh Reddick does not have to play every day. Kyle Tucker should be up in the majors. And the Dodgers don't need to play Chris Taylor or Kike Hernandez. Play Gavin Lux at second base. You want to win a World Series? I think Gavin Lux helps you do that.
Yeah.
Although you need a reliever more, but still.
And I think that the Dodgers might well take the old Red Sox strategy during their perennial contender years. That remember when they called up Xander Bogaerts, they called up Devers, they were aggressive with the promotions. I think the Dodgers might well do that with Lux next year. By the way, the other team that I think is interesting from the promotion standpoint, I want to see if Toronto calls up any of the young pitchers, guys like Nate Pearson, during September. Do they give him a start or two just to audition them?
Yes, but I don't care what Nate Pearson does in that start. I think the 3 weeks of Kyle Tucker playing regularly are far more important than any 1 or 2 starts from Nate Pearson.
I think I know
what Nate Pearson is. He's not Mitch Keller. He's a guy who's going to get a lot of strikeouts, throws really hard, probably blow out his arm like Michael Kopech did, but I don't care if he pitches. I almost don't want to see him pitch this month.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to see Kyle Tucker and Gavin Lux. The follow-up to this question was, and this is only for you because I don't drink either of these, what is the appropriate time for pumpkin spice coffee beer to be offered? I assume that's not pumpkin spice coffee beer, but pumpkin spice coffee separately and
there's,
beer.
There's pumpkin spice coffee. I've never had pumpkin spice beer, but there is the pumpkin style beer. I think the beer can be anytime, any time of year. Pumpkin spice coffee and like the pumpkin spice muffins and whatever. I think it should be a rule that should be introduced on the first official day of fall, which is September 21st, I believe. Like we need to make that a rule. And I love pumpkin spice coffee and pumpkin spice muffins. I'm one of those weird guys who loves that, even though, you know, was it John Oliver says it tastes like a candle? Still a great line.
You're definitely one of those weird guys. Dan, is Ryan Yarbrough's success sustainable next season?
We said no. We as a community said no this year, that it couldn't happen this season, and he's done it again. So why can't he maintain some of the value? He doesn't miss bats.
Ryan Yarbrough is really good, and he's fun. I like watching him. He's the number 20 starting pitcher on the full season player rater. Ryan Yarbrough is number 20. If you look at this, you'll see some incredible things. By the way, Shane Bieber is now the number 3 starting pitcher behind the two Astros.
Yep. He's second in the majors in innings.
Amazing season. Scherzer's fallen to 8th behind Kershaw.
Yep.
Giolito's number 10 and Strasburg's 11. There's a lot of good starting pitching despite the happy fun baseballs. Mike Minor is number 18, but that includes a reliever, Liam Hendricks, so he's really number 17. I don't remember what the silly bet was. Jack Flaherty's in there. Ryan Yarbrough is number 20 among all pitchers on the player rater, ahead of Aaron Nola, Lance Lynn.
The Minor bet? It was top 20. It was top 20.
He's still top 20, and yep. So is Lance Lynn. And I believe they still lead the American League pitchers in WAR. Two Rangers that have no shot at the Cy Young Award over two Astros who might even split it.
Where are you a buyer at what tier for Ryan Yarbrough next year? Because I know this is the thing.
I don't think he's a top 40 starting pitcher for me, though.
But you say he's good in what sense? Like, to me, there's something he's really, really good at, and that is control. I don't see anything else.
I think, Tristan, you're loath to give appreciation to Mike Fiers types who just find a way. And Ryan Yarbrough, by the way, Ryan Yarbrough's K rate is not as low as I thought it was. I mean, it's not 8, but it's respectable.
Yeah, it's not a I don't want any part of him, but it's also not great. I don't see growth. I don't see great development. I don't see things.
Yes,
that,
I'll agree with all that. I'll agree with that.
His control so far in the majors has been exceptional.
He has 14 walks in 115 innings. If you want to avoid guys like Yarbrough, Wade Miley, Mike Fiers, be my guest, but as like your last starting pitcher, they're fine.
Sure.
I'm going to rank Yarbrough like number 55, last starting pitcher. Okay. Alex, who are your top 3 points league pitchers for 2020? I assume they're starters, but they don't have to be. But say they're starters. Is it the two Astros? In your points league, who has the most points among pitchers?
Yeah, again, using these I believe we're 2 days old at this point, but it'll be close. Justin Verlander has 568 points to lead. Garrett Cole is second with 523, so a pretty big drop.
Big difference.
Yeah, it's not uncommon for the top tier. This is why you draft them aggressively in points leagues. Number 3 is Shane Bieber with 469, and then we drop about 20 points before you get to Morton and Strasburg and DeGrom.
Man, we gotta find a space for Shane Bieber in our top 10 starting pitchers next year. This isn't a fantastic season.
Yeah, and I think a lot
like
of us...
over Syndergaard, over Nola, over Bauer, over Giolito. He's got to be there.
Right. And I'm going to... that there probably is any more pitcher for me in the top tier that's more important for me to research just to make sure that we are right here. But I have a hunch that the industry, the community, whatever, is going to be a little bit pessimistic about his repeat chances, but I think he has great stuff and among the best command of anybody in professional baseball.
All right. So he has to be in your top 10.
I think you're right. Yep. I think you're right.
All right. There you go. All right. I guess
top 3, though. You got to give the top 3.
Well, I think it's, isn't it Verlander, DeGrom, Cole? No Sale. Scherzer's there.
Yeah.
So I'd say it's still Verlander, Scherzer, Cole over DeGrom. Do I feel good about that? Yes. I'll go Cole over DeGrom.
I think it's those 4 guys on the top 4 spots.
Yeah.
I'm going to go DeGrom, Cole, and Scherzer.
No Verlander. Why?
I could.
Because he's old? Are you kidding me?
I could toss the eggs in the air and let them fall.
All right. Well, if you admit that, fine. But like, how do I have Verlander 1 and you don't have him in the top 3? Like, what's your reasoning? Is just because he's old?
Because I think they're all effectively 6'10 point guys. I think they'll be 6'10, 6'05, 600, and 595.
All right.
So to me, it's just take your preference of the 4. I think Cole probably has the narrowest range. Well, actually, DeGrom, too. Cole and DeGrom are the ones who I feel they're going to hit the target on the projection.
Thank you so much for listening to our little show as we complete our fifth month. How about that? Fifth month during the season. We did shows in March as well. Please, to our friends in Florida, like Tom the intern, be safe this weekend with the dangerous storm coming. Next week, we will have shows on Tuesday and Thursday for your listening pleasure, or just to anger the pets in your house and make fun of us, whatever it is. For Tristan and Troy, I am Eric. Have an awesome Labor Day weekend. Everything is awesome.
Darkness.